European banks are having their day of stress tests.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. Today, a group of regulators in London will grade more than 90 banks in Europe. Early reports show several Spanish banks have failed the tests, which are meant to restore confidence. But reporter Christopher Worth tells us from London, one important question has been left out.
Stress tests are supposed to be a way of getting everything out in the open, how banks would do if faced with things like another recession. But Simon Tilford of the Center for European Reform says Europe's stress tests are ignoring one scenario that seems very real.
The ability of the banks to cope with defaults in Greece and or other Eurozone member states.
He says national defaults remain likely, but that isn't being tested. Peter Hahn is with the Cass Business School in London. He says there are several reasons governments don't want to contemplate a Greek default.
If European regulatory authorities suggest an assumption of a sovereign default, that creates a greater perception in the marketplace that a sovereign default could occur.
And after setting up a $1 trillion fund in May to help prevent such defaults from happening, European leaders won't want to be seen betting against their own backstops. But Tilford warns the tests may do more harm than good if markets are simply left with big, unanswered questions. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Investors in Europe are feeling relatively upbeat. Shares are mostly higher there right now. Markets closed higher in Asia as well, following a day of buying on Wall Street. The NASDAQ and S&P added between 2 and 3%. The Dow tacked on 201 points yesterday, about 2%, to close at 10,322. The stock markets had big gains despite a less-than-stellar jobless claims report. Couple that with a jobless rate of 9.5%, and we get an idea of how much recovery the job market's going to need. Former Labor Secretary Robert Rice is with us now to talk about what he thinks we can expect going forward. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
Why is unemployment staying so high?
Well, the short answer is there's just not enough demand in the system. And employers aren't going to start hiring until they know consumers are going to start really buying again.
And where does the unemployment rate need to be, Bob? I mean, what should the goal be?
Well, roughly about 5%. We got down to 4% in the 1990s, but most economists would be satisfied if we were back at 5% unemployment.
How long before we get there?
Well, that's the question. I think at least 3 or 4 years at the rate we're going, Steve, which is bad enough. But there is a possibility we won't see 5% unemployment again for a decade. In fact, some people are now predicting joblessness is going to stay high.
And why is that?
Because so many employers have used the recession to do what they've wanted to do for a long time, and that's pare back payrolls, using the internet to outsource abroad, and new software applications to do many of the things that people used to do. These jobs are never going to come back. And if this becomes the new normal, we could be seeing a permanent reduction in demand for workers.
So that's what we have to deal with, is permanently high unemployment.
Well, I'm not that pessimistic, but I do worry that in order to get new jobs or keep the old jobs, millions of Americans are going to have to accept lower wages. And the long-term problem will not be jobs. It will be incomes.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and current professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
Today is reporter Scott Tong's last day in Shanghai. Scott has spent three and a half years covering China for Marketplace, crafting stories in a place that has seen dramatic economic change. We thought we'd bring him in to share some notes with us as he's headed out. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, Steve.
Scott, take us back to when you first arrived in Shanghai, just to give us sort of a clue as to how things are different there.
So we got here January 1, 2007, and I bought a map, and it's now obsolete. It tells you how much this place has changed. We have 4 new subway lines, 3 giant new shopping malls, and property prices per square meter in Shanghai have doubled. And the stock market has gone from 2,000 all the way up to 6,400 and back down to 2,000.
Which stories, Scott, over the years have fascinated you?
Well, last year, Steve, I was up in northern China in Shanxi province, and I met a coal miner there. Now, coal mining is one of the most dangerous jobs in China. 20 coal miners die on average every day here in China. Mm. And here's what was interesting. He said, you know, I wish my child could have one of those jobs that I used to have, to go all the way down in the bottom of the mine to make $1.50 an hour, because despite all the risks, it is really good money. So I think when we think about China and working conditions, what I found almost everywhere is people want these jobs.
Any last stops before you get out of there, Scott?
Well, if I have a little bit of time, I want to go to a place called the Park Hotel, which I never went to. My mom was born in Shanghai, and when she was a little girl, she used to go to the Park Hotel and have tea. That is supposed to be the central point of Shanghai, and then you see where it's grown. But, you know, a little bit of old Shanghai still remains, including the old Park Hotel. I'm going to go give it a shot.
That's great. Well, safe travels to you, Scott. Thank you for your service in Shanghai and in China and all your coverage there. And we wish you the best of luck as you come back home.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
By the way, Scott continues his marketplace work in Washington, and a new China correspondent has already begun work in Shanghai. Finally, all the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
While the average Joe is hurting, 3M, Xerox, Halliburton, Coca-Cola, Caterpillar, all their bottom lines were killer. American Express, UPS, and their success is great, I guess, but over at the central banky, Ben Bernanke sounded cranky. Sales are drowsy, credit's lousy, housing pain is up again, so clearly there's this wide divide. Can these global firms provide the jobs to stop the slide and turn the tide? I can't decide. Democrats face the facts about the so-called carbon tax. There's no Republican that backs it. Since it lacks the vote, they axed it. And a study of summer vacation shows it's not a relaxation. Either we spend it working a lot, or we fret about unanswered emails we've got. So if you're sitting under a coconut tree, and I hate to say this, do not go to marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Giatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.